A therapist sits across from a new client who launches into a detailed account of everything wrong in their life: failed relationships, workplace conflicts, persistent anxiety. The therapist listens, then asks, "Suppose tonight, while you sleep, a miracle happens and all these problems vanish. When you wake up tomorrow, what's the first small thing you'd notice that tells you something has shifted?" The client pauses, genuinely surprised by the question. In that pause, something fundamental changes. This isn't another session dissecting what's broken. This is an invitation to imagine what's possible. This moment captures the revolutionary shift that solution-focused questioning brings to helping conversations, a shift from endless problem analysis to deliberate solution building. For generations, helping professionals operated on a seemingly logical assumption: you must thoroughly understand a problem before solving it, dig deep into causes, analyze patterns, explore origins. This medical model works brilliantly for diagnosing infections or broken bones, but when applied to human psychology and relationships, it often backfires spectacularly. The more we focus on problems, the larger they loom. Discussing failures repeatedly doesn't illuminate pathways forward. It reinforces feelings of helplessness. Solution-focused interviewing emerged in the 1980s when Milwaukee therapists Steve DeShazer and Inso Kim Berg noticed that extensive problem analysis often perpetuated problems rather than resolving them. They developed principles flipping conventional wisdom. Problems and solutions occupy different territories. Clients are experts on their own lives. If something works, do more of it. If it doesn't, try something else. Research validates this approach. DeShazer found 80% success rates after just 4.6 sessions, rising to 86% after 18 months, compared to traditional therapy's 66% success, requiring twice as many sessions. Three therapist behaviors make clients four times more likely to discuss solutions: asking about desired outcomes, requesting specifics about what works, and offering genuine compliments. The therapeutic relationship contributes 30 to 60% to successful outcomes, while specific techniques contribute only 10 to 15%. Relationships take three forms: visitor, client sees no problem; complainant, client suffers but believes others must change; and customer, client sees themselves as part of both problem and solution, motivated to change. Motivation isn't possessed, it's created through conversation. Saint-Exupéry captured this. If you want to build a ship, don't drum up people to collect wood and assign them tasks, but rather teach them to long for the endless immensity of the sea. This is solution-focused motivation, cultivating desire for change, not commanding it. The challenge is transforming visitors and complainants into customers through unconditional acceptance and questions about what they want to achieve. Solution-focused professionals reject resistance entirely. As Walter and Peller wrote, clients are always cooperating. They are showing us how they think change takes place. When clients don't follow advice, they're showing us what they need instead. This transforms positioning, using the below and together position. Leading from one step behind naturally shifts clients to the above and together position as experts on their own lives. Hope plays a crucial role. Hopelessness stems from feeling you've lost control over the future. Professionals generate hope by creating positive expectations, focusing on options rather than limitations, and highlighting previous successes. Hope isn't something you have, it's something you do. The first solution-focused session establishes a fundamentally different structure. Rather than extensive problem cataloging, the professional explains the approach, explores client strengths, and treats every session as potentially the final one, creating urgency and focus. Four core questions guide the work. What are your best hopes? What difference would that make? What is already working in the right direction, and what would be the next sign of progress? These tap into hope, explore meaningful differences, identify existing strengths, and establish concrete next steps. The miracle question serves as a powerful visioning tool. Suppose tonight, while sleeping, a miracle happens and the problem that brought you here is solved. Since you're sleeping, you don't know the miracle occurred. When you wake up tomorrow, what will be different that tells you the miracle happened? This helps clients concretely identify their desired endpoint, often eliciting nonverbal reactions that make the preferred future feel real. Clients often name means, "I want a job," rather than true goals like financial security and purpose. The professional probes deeper with "what difference would that make?" to reveal the genuine preferred future. The professional strategically ignores problem talk while encouraging discussion of goals and solutions. Research shows systematic use of compliments improves outcomes by 30%. Every subsequent session begins with "what is better?" implicitly suggesting positive change has occurred. The EARS framework guides these sessions, eliciting stories about progress, amplifying exceptions in detail, reinforcing successes through exploration and compliments, and starting again with "what else is better?" Clients respond in four typical ways. When things are improving, explore improvements in detail, emphasize contrast with previous conditions, and focus on how clients made changes happen. When clients disagree about progress, normalize this by explaining that progress involves steps forward and backward. When clients report no change, search for small, unnoticed improvements. Sometimes maintaining stability itself represents success. When clients report deterioration, acknowledge struggles while exploring what keeps them going. The Greek chorus technique introduces a pessimistic supervisor whose doubts the client works to disprove. For relapse prevention, have clients imagine future relapses and consider how to handle them, enhancing pathway thinking and reducing relapse risk. If relapse occurs, normalize it. Progress means taking three steps forward and one or two steps back, not linear improvement. Solution-focused work extends beyond verbal questioning into creative techniques that help clients visualize progress. Externalizing helps clients see problems as separate entities rather than inherent flaws. By naming the problem, depression, anxiety, hyper monster for a child with ADHD, clients and therapists stand together against it. Future projection techniques help clients examine situations from future perspectives, writing letters from their future selves, imagining themselves looking back as older and wiser, or describing a detailed day 1 year ahead. The interactional matrix helps clients examine situations from three positions: self, their viewpoint, other, another person's perspective, and distance, observing like a fly on the wall. Nonverbal strategies include using whiteboards where clients draw goals, exceptions, and scaling questions, creating drawings contrasting problems with preferred futures, and applying topographic interventions where physical positioning facilitates different perspectives. Role-play techniques like the pretend task, acting as if problems were solved, and the surprise task, subtly changing behavior to surprise others, help clients experience positive change before problems are fully resolved. Solution-focused professionals build effective teams with problem-focused colleagues through clear goals, genuine compliments, success highlighting, and tentative language that increases cooperation. Referrers, doctors, teachers, court officials, typically operate problem-focused. Solution-focused practitioners treat them as second clients, complementing their involvement while exploring exceptions. Questions like, "What is the smallest change you can accept?" help referrers shift toward solution building. Solution-focused meetings begin by establishing what colleagues hope to achieve, often revealing case details needn't be discussed. Language matters. Challenging and interesting inspire curiosity, while extremely difficult diminishes motivation. Traditional meetings focus on blame and problems. Solution-focused meetings define clear goals, highlight team strengths, and discuss previous successes, improving atmosphere and willingness to act. Mental health care has transformed from long-term treatments to efficient short-term interventions, from curative approaches to preventative wellness. This shift moves practitioners away from problem-focused interviewing that reinforces negative patterns towards solution-focused methods activating natural resilience. Modern practitioners empower clients to formulate goals, develop solutions, and take action. The key question shifts from what's wrong to what do you want instead? This reframe helps people define their vision, creating an energizing atmosphere that prevents burnout while reducing costs. Many clients report progress in 3 to 4 sessions versus months or years traditionally. Solution-focused questioning recognizes people already possess needed resources. They just need the right questions to activate solutions. Start today. What would you like to see instead? Watch possibilities unfold.